into our gatherings, into our services, our meetings, and you know, we say that we're waiting on the Lord. We truly are waiting on the Lord. And I think sometimes, if you're not involved in the day-to-day operation of that, the service-to-service operation of that, sometimes it can be something that seems like it's a quote. It's a, you know, well, yeah, of course, we all wait on the Lord. But when you carry the weight of the one who is trying to feel after the Lord for every moment of a service, starting with the poor individual who gets stuck with picking the songs. I mean, you either in it or you're out of it, right? You either on or you're off. You either were in the Holy Ghost when you picked all those, or you were tired and just trying to get through Sunday morning when you picked all those. I mean, I'm just talking about the real pressure, the expectation that you put upon yourself, and sometimes the expectation that comes from all of us. Well, they better be good ones today. If they're going to peel me out of this chair, they better be good ones. Better pick just the right one. And all those that are in the room who've had that phone call on Sunday morning, hey, I'd like for you to lead worship today. Would you pick a few songs? Oh, in Jesus' name. Wasn't spiritual all week, but I'm about to get real spiritual in the next 5 minutes. I'm being silly. You understand the pressure. And you know, I remember the first time Bishop looked at me and said, with the blank piece of paper, and said, here, fill this out. This is a service order for today. Put some names on here, some people you feel like the Lord would have to be involved in the service today. Oh, Lord. That was scary. It was scary for a while. Because, you know, his system, when he was helping me through that, you know, his system was, I'd fill it out and take it back to him. Bring it back, put some names in there, bring it back to me. And he'd say, oh, no, not that one. Scratch that one out. Tell me what you were thinking about that one. So you really prayed when you were writing them names down. Because you want to be in the will of God. I want to have the mind of God. I want who the Lord wants involved in every single session. Now, I mean, do you get it right 100% of the time? No, we're flesh. And there have been times where I've called on somebody and I thought, all right, Lord, I guess forgive me, missed that. They were not a bad person. They weren't supposed to be the one. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. It's our humanity. We're flesh. A couple Sundays ago, we came into the service. We came into the prayer room. And, you know, I want to pick on Sister Schoonover for a minute. I can do this because it's my mother-in-law, and she still has to love me when I'm done. Oftentimes, I'll call upon her, and she says, please don't do that today. Okay, yes, Mother, I won't do that to you today. So other times, I just don't tell her. But it was two Sundays ago, that particular Sunday, I felt strongly like she was supposed to have a part in service. I didn't know what it was, so I just put her down. I just put her name down. I didn't tell her. In fact, I came off the platform. If you don't know, we use the leadership group uses WhatsApp also. And so the way you know you're involved in service is somewhere about 5 to 10 minutes before service starts. So if you ever see me walking around the prayer room on my phone, I'm not keeping up with the Seahawks game. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm tagging people in WhatsApp posts. And so you come up from your knees in prayer, and you've got a message that you're opening service in 5 minutes, Brother Jared. He's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. Catch you off guard. Not really. You've been waiting on the Lord. You've been praying. The Lord's given you something. The Lord told me to call on you. He's already given you something to say. And so I actually slipped down in the middle of service and I said, you got the text right. Because sometimes she gets busy with the grandkids and she hasn't looked at her phone. It's been in her purse. We've gone through worship service. She's like, wait, you want me on the platform? Yeah, I said, you got tagged in the WhatsApp. So I slipped down. I said, hey, you got the text, right? She said, yes. I said, okay. And it was in the middle of worship service. I walked right back up on the platform. And not 2 minutes later, Mavis Jasper walked in the door. and she sat right down there on the second row. Now, I don't know what would have transpired all that day, but the Lord knows. Now, I know, some of you know in the room, the relationship, and she got up and told the testimony about the relationship that exists between those two. You see, God knows every single detail of every single moment of every single day. Some of you don't believe me. He says he knows the exact numbers of hair on our head. He knows every single sparrow that falls. He knows everything. He's aware of everything. So if he knows all that, do you believe that he has the ability to orchestrate those things? No, we're not pawns on a board. No, God doesn't play chess in heaven and say, okay, let's put this here and this here. No, no, no. He just simply, for those that will wait upon him, for those that will submit themselves to the leading of his spirit and will make themselves sensitive to that still small voice, he will begin to put things in place through their lives. I don't know if you've had the chance or not to listen to any of the sessions from the Philippines that were sent out, but one of the things that continues to ring clear to me through that is this idea that the longer that we live for God and the longer that we're in church and the more involvement we have in the kingdom of God, you can get to a point where you can get good at things. You know, I can go downstairs on Sunday morning and I wouldn't even have to pray, and I could put together a service schedule. And I could say, well, we should have this person lead, and this person open, and this person do this, and this person do this. We could do it methodically. I could take all your names and put them in a hat and pull them out, and each of you that I called on would do a fantastic job doing whatever I asked you to do. And we could just go right down the list and just we could put a calendar on the wall. And so you knew you could walk in on the first Sunday of the month and know that Brother Heiner was going to open on the first and the third. Jared was open on the second and the fourth. Brandon Berglund speaking on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. You could know all that. And we have the ability. We're all organizers. We're really good. We could do that. Did you know that actually exists like that in some apostolic churches? People operate that way. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Depends on which side of the Bible you stand on. So we can get good at putting things together, and what ends up happening in that and what was communicated, I think it was Brother Mike Gonzalez who began to talk a little bit about this in the Philippines, and Bishop started with it, but it was this idea of relying upon the arm of the flesh, relying upon our humanity, that we can put things together and we can organize things in such a way that, well, yeah, I can put together a good group of people. If you're letting me pick teams on the basketball court, I got you, I got you, I got you, and I got you. We're good. There's my five. You can put together the dream team. You can do the same thing on Sunday morning. Well, this guy can really get people off the pews. We need to have him. I heard a person say one time, a minister. He said, you know, we got this one guy. We always just make him lead worship. He can't sing. In fact, we turn his mic off. But he dances around a lot, and he gets people fired up. And I thought, I'm sitting there listening. This is a guy ministering to a group of ministers about how to like have better church. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? So you picked him because he has not because he has the ability to pray and wait on the Lord and knows what? No, someone else was doing all the selection. He was just supposed to be the cheerleader. That's all his job was. And if we're not careful, I've said all that to say, if we're not careful, we can slip back into a place where we rely upon our understanding, we rely upon the things that we know, and then we miss that still small voice that says, I want you to call on Sister Schoonover today. She may not even have anything to say at the moment. She doesn't know all the parts and pieces that he's orchestrating, that if all of them fall into place, that his perfect will becomes accomplished. And somebody's life is ministered to in a way that it may not have been ministered to previously. I don't know what you felt that day, but I felt the drawing of the Holy Ghost upon a soul right there. That wasn't going to happen by anything I said that day. And I think, I don't remember. I think I ended up holding the microphone later on that day. But there was nothing I said that was going to reach to her like it did in that moment. When the Lord used a vessel that wasn't even aware when they walked in the door that I'm going to have a significant role in this service today. Do you understand the importance of this? When the Holy Ghost, I don't call on you, the Holy Ghost calls on you. I'm simply being obedient to the voice of God. When I call, Brother Ken Doyle, I want you to come testify for a moment. I don't have your name on a list, I'm just working through a list. No, if I show up on a Wednesday night and the Holy Ghost says, I want you to call on Ken Doyle, then the Holy Ghost wants you to have a part in Wednesday night Bible study. Not me, that's not my choice. I'm just being obedient. Sometimes I'll call on somebody and you can feel it in the room if you're spiritually sensitive. Really? Hey, I'm just doing what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. And there are times that I'm like, that'll happen, and someone gets up and they say something. I'm like, my goodness, where in the world did that come from? That was the Holy Ghost. God selected that. He put it all together. I don't know about you, but I know which side of the Bible I'm on. I know what I want to live in. I know what I want to operate in. I know what I want to participate in. I want to follow his leading. When you look at the book of Acts, church, start in Acts chapter, well, you can really start in Acts chapter 2 and verse, probably about verse 10 or 15. When Peter stood up with the 11 and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as ye suppose. That was really him following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Do you think he came up with those words on his own? Did he make that up? No, it started, the book of Acts, church, started right there. And we rejoice over Acts 2 and 37 and 38 and 39. That's great. Those are powerful. It's the new birth experience. Nothing wrong with that. But it started a few verses back when someone had the boldness to stand up under the inspiration, the unction of the Holy Ghost and say, hey, what you're seeing around here, you think it's one thing, but it's actually something else. And he spoke a word that day that ignited a revival. That the scripture says, what was it, about 3,000 souls were added unto the church because one individual had the boldness to follow the unction and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And then it just continued in Acts 3. Acts 4, Acts 5, all the way through, you see the church just, all they were doing was whatever the Holy Ghost told them to do. Would you pray right now? Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're guarding against, Father, slipping into a trap of methodical approach to a spiritual situation. We pray in the name of Jesus, let our gatherings continue to be ordained of you, Father. Let our coming together, Father, continue to be orchestrated by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the leading of your Spirit, Father. And I pray that each of us be willing and come available and ready and patient and willing to wait upon you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Itararande kosotororobakiataye. Ilararande sotororoboshetaya. Ilararande sotororoboshetaye. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. in the name of Jesus. This is why it's so important that I come prepared. I'm not talking about with a message or a sermon or a little note written in my Bible. There's a generation that used to quote the term, well, be instant in season and out of season. My first pastor before my dad used to say, keep a message in your Bible. You never know when you show up somewhere and they'll ask you to preach. That's not the kind of being ready I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I come in on Wednesday night. If I've been binging on Netflix, I probably won't have anything to say. But if I've been binging on the Word, if I've been binging on prayer, if I've been in fellowship with Him, then I'm not worried about, hey, Brother Heiner, would you come share whatever the Lord's put? Yes. He talked to me last night in prayer. This morning when I woke up and got in my car and started driving down 167 to Pacific, the Holy Ghost dropped the scripture in my spirit. How'd that happen? I don't know. I turned the radio off. I didn't want any other voices today. I just wanted to hear the voice of God. And so I come in ready. I come in prepared. My spirit's ready to receive from Him. My spirit's ready for Him to flow through me. If apostolic ministry is simply hearing and repeating, that's all it is. It's hearing and repeating. That's why the sensitivity of the voice of God and knowing the voice of God is so important in ministry. Whether it's street ministry, coffee shop ministry, Bible study ministry, pulpit ministry, piano ministry, music ministry, whatever. If you fill in the blank, Sunday school ministry, simply hearing and repeating, that's it. That ought to fill every aspect, every avenue of ministry within the church. If you're a Sunday school teacher, when you go down there on Sunday, I know that there's some lesson and some catchy story that they've put from Word of Flame Press in a book for you, and that's okay. You ought to have that and all the cool stuff on the walls. That's all good. But you ought to be able at the same time to hear and repeat what the Spirit says to the church. The church, yeah, the kids down there, who knows what's going on? Who knows what situation they've had to encounter? What's going on at school? What's going on in their home lives? The Holy Ghost wants to minister to people, and He wants to do it through you and me. And so if apostolic ministry is all just hearing and repeating, I'm only talking if He's talking. If He's giving me stuff to say, then I'm going to say it. And when He's done talking, then I'm done talking. If it's as simple as that, then I got to be careful what voices I'm listening to all week long. And if I just got stuff, I'm not saying it's bad stuff, but if I'm just putting stuff in all week long, and then I get to Sunday, or I get to Sunday school, or I get to worship ministry, or I get to Wednesday night Bible study, and I'm called upon. I'm trying to sort through all the voices. All right, Lord, silence the voices. Oh, Lord Jesus, praise God. What did I read yesterday? What was that? When you think about Old Testament. Let me say this first. There's no list of rules posted on the wall somewhere around here. Nobody gets up and says, you know, don't listen to this, don't listen to that, don't do this, don't do that. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to let the Holy Ghost lead you. Do we all understand that? I think we're all on the same page about that. You have to have your own convictions. You have to let the Holy Ghost lead you. But when you read the Old Testament, and you look even a little bit in the Gospels, when Jesus selected the 12 and the stories that the writers chose to relay to us about the 12 and some that He chose, when you look at the priest in the Old Testament, there was a separation for them. They were all called the people of God. They were all the children of Israel. They all participate. Everybody had to participate in the sacrifices. Everybody had to bring the same offerings. There was all the same requirement of everybody. But the priest, there was a different set of rules for them. Now, did those outside the priesthood have to live by those rules? No. Look at Samson. Samson was born into a different set of rules. Read them. God gave them to his mother. Here's what they are. I'm selecting this one. Set this one aside. Was there anything wrong? I mean, I like a good haircut. Just got one this week. I appreciate a good haircut. Starts getting long, starts getting shaggy. I don't like that look. Maybe Samson was the same way, but the Holy Ghost said, this one, ain't no razor coming to his head. Really? Yep, I got a special plan for this one. There's a little bit more I'm going to ask of you. And it's no different today for us. Peter and John, Andrew, Matthew, the tax collector, left it all, followed him. I said this a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. He hasn't asked me to do that yet. But he asked that of him. He asked that of them. Elisha with Elijah. I mean, think about that. Elisha goes back and slays every oxen that he has, burns his plow. He's done. He's out of the farming business. And he ain't going back to it. Why? Because there was for him, it was the receiving of a mantle, an anointing, a calling. God said, I have a special plan for you. And always say, like Elisha, Father, give us a double portion. Well, what he did to get that? So as we gather together, and we desire to be vessels used of him. Sometimes there's some more separation required for us. Well, I know other Christians, they do this. Well, okay, that's fine. Well, I know other kids that are doing that. That's fine. What's he asked of you? I know what he's asked of me. There's some of the things he asked of me that I don't talk about from the pulpit because it's not fair to you. I don't share things. There's things he's asked of her. She didn't talk about them from the pulpit. It's not fair to you. There's things that some of you don't do. I do them. You've never judged me about that. Maybe you have in your heart. That's between you and the Lord. That's what he's asked of you. And you said yes. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for a whole bunch of this and this, just all going to look the same, all going to do the same. He's looking for a group of individuals who will respond to the drawing and the leading of the Holy Ghost and say, yes, Lord. If you need me to separate myself from this, yes, Lord. If I need to cut this out of my life, yes, Lord. Let's pray again right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kataro robo sheti anaharabahas ataye. Itoro romo sheti anaharabahaye atoye. Ilararane sotoro robo sheti atarabahaye. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A few weeks ago, someone else is going to come take this after me. I don't know who yet, but this is it for me. A few weeks ago, I really began to feel the drawing of the Lord upon my heart about some things in my life. Not bad things. Not even sinful things. There's no sin associated with them whatsoever. I say that because I don't want your mind to go to some place like, oh my goodness. What? These were not sinful things. These were just life things that the Lord began to deal with me about them. I didn't know what it meant, so I talked to my wife about it. We discussed it at length, and I finally came to this conclusion. I'm simply going to lay this on the altar. That's all I can do. I don't care about it anymore. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm just simply going to lay it on the altar. And I prayed this prayer. Lord, if you want it, it's yours. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me anymore. It was something that was very dear to my heart, something that I cared a lot about. I don't care. I can tell you that in the last few weeks, I've noticed a different dimension in prayer. Every time I go to the Word to read it, it's like the Word comes alive. It's like it's coming off the page and I'm seeing things. And the Lord, it's like there's real, I can't even begin to describe it. It's like ministry going on between, sometimes it's my phone, sometimes it's that Bible. But it's like real ministry going on between me and the Word that God's talking about things to. Where does that come from? It comes from a place of consecration. There's some of you here in the room tonight, you're really hungry for what I just described. You're desperate for it. I know because I was too. And I asked the Lord, what's in the way? There's no sin in my life. I empty myself before you every day. What's in the way? Wasn't that anything was in the way. There were just some things that he was asking me to lay on the altar. That's not fair. Well, that's between you and him. But when he asks for something, when he asks you to give him something, he always has some sort of exchange. I don't know what it is for you, but he always has some sort of exchange. He's not a selfish guy. He doesn't just take from you. Give me that. I want that. Thank you. I've always wanted that. I was jealous of you having that. No, that's not who he is. I know there are many here with sincere hearts who've asked the Lord, Lord, I want to go to deeper places in you. Father, deep calleth unto deep. And I want to know that dimension of you. Father, I know that there are nuggets in your word that I still haven't read after all these years of serving you. And I don't want to just go through the motions in my Bible reading, but show me things I haven't seen before. Talk to me through your word. He says, I want to do that. I want to give that to you. It's my desire. Can I have this over here? I'll trade you. Yes, I'll trade you. You talk to the Lord again right now. Only you know, Father. Only you know, Father. In the name of Jesus. Ikatara rabahaye. Ikoromo sotoro rabahaye. Itaye lororobo shekiata raba. Inaye yororobo shekiata raba. I'm sorry, I got to share one more thing. As soon as we begin to pray, the Holy Ghost prompted this to me. The second piece of this for me was my kids. As any good parent does, you see your kids and you see paths and opportunities for them, and you try to help kind of shape and mold the direction for their lives. And man, this is a good direction for you. And so even at a young age and where they're at right now, I begin to kind of put some things together and try to begin to shape them a little bit and find them, get them interested in things that I felt were wholesome, and get them interested in things that I felt like were going to help set them up later in life and would teach them good values. And I wrapped up a lot of time and effort in that. I pushed some things pretty hard, and I had some pretty big plans for them. The other night, laying over their beds as they were falling asleep and I was praying over them, Holy Ghost smote me. Do you trust me with your kids' lives? Did you ask me about that? Is that my plan? I mean, that's nice. That's real nice. But what if I have a different plan? What if I've got something different for them? Are you okay with that? Oh, I got angry for just a small minute. What are you talking about? And in a moment, in the dark, laying over those kids covered in blankets, I just let go of it. It doesn't matter to me, God. I didn't realize how concerned. I didn't care. I didn't realize how much I cared about this. I didn't realize how much Nick was driving this. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want what you want. That's it. I want what you want. I'm sorry for trying to chart their course. I'm sorry for trying to give them direction. I'm sorry. You order their steps. I don't even have the foggiest idea tonight at 8, 4, and 9 months what that looks like. I don't, and it doesn't matter to me, because he knows. And he sees him at 8. He sees him at 18. He sees him at 28. He sees him at 38. He sees him at 48. He sees him after I'm long gone off the face of this earth. He sees the whole thing. Here I am worried about tomorrow, when the instruction from the Word of God is take no thought for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want you to pray again right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, there's no part of me that I'm withholding from you. There's no part of me, there's no part of my life that I don't lay before you upon an altar tonight. There's no part of me that I don't want before you, given to you, exposed to you, Father, freely given to you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, you've heard every prayer that's been prayed in this room. You've heard the cry of every heart, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that in the fellowship between you and those individuals, Father, that you'd continue to talk to them, that you'd show them what it is, Father, that you're asking of them. In the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Brother Heinrich, would you come dismiss this however you feel led to?
There's a great hunger in this room. Wait on him for a little bit longer. Would you continue to pray? Hilabato shikasata bahaya. Hikalalabayo simando. Hilabataya shikola bahaya. I surrender all, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ikalala mashoko labasata. I'm not going to take much more of your time, but when Elder Johnstone was ministering, I couldn't help but think how important it is to rid ourselves of measurement to each other. Because like he was saying, the Lord will lead us. Yeah, we're on the same path to heaven. I get that. But what he asks us to do doesn't mirror across the body. When you think about it, he doesn't ask, you know, he gave us the example of the human body or the body, how he, you know, fitly framed it together. When you think about the different parts of the body, he doesn't ask an ear to do the same thing he asks a nose to do. And yet we think we can just draw a bunch of rules and make a list and say, okay, here's the rule book. This is how everybody's going to live our lives to this letter of the law. I've experienced that. But we can get so addicted to a rule book and compare ourselves. Well, so you participate in this over here? Oh, okay. So I'm cool then. It's all good. I mean, as long as I'm not the only one doing that. And we compare ourselves to each other because so-and-so is pretty spiritual. And surely if, you know, if they're a part of that, it can't be bad for me or vice versa. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord for our lives because he says, I forget who said it or where it is, but search out your own salvation. I believe Peter said it with fear and trembling. The book doesn't change person to person. God's opinion about certain things as he lays out in the book doesn't change person to person. That's universal. His word doesn't change, regardless of the reader. But his spirit will lead us and draw us into different dimensions and different realms. Um, one thing that really came back to my mind here as we were sitting here and ministering was several years ago, I was involved in a youth camp, and Brother Brown was the speaker. There's something that he said in that, I think the one or two nights I was there, that will probably always stick with me. And he was mentioning about how he had heard many people say about the younger generation, about attention spans. Said, you hear it, kids these days. Anybody ever heard that? Kids these days, they just have no attention span. You just can't do anything for more than 20 minutes or they're just gone. And he said, that's really not true. Because kids these days have no problem sitting through a 3.5-hour movie. No problem. So our problem isn't attention span, it's appetite. I can be attentive, I can be locked in if my appetite wants that. I can turn this on or turn it off, but really it's based upon my heart. What am I hungry for? I'll be honest, I was a little convicted when we talked about what are you spending your time in. I may not binge Netflix, but I spent a fair amount on YouTube watching hunting videos. I do. There we go again. It's the comparison thing. Well, that can't be that bad, but it doesn't matter what it is. The problem is when we allow it to become something that consumes us. I don't care if it's watching knitting videos. I don't care if it's crocheting. Whatever it is. See, it's the things that appeal to us, appeal to our nature. And those are going to be different from every individual in this room. We're not all going to share the same pursuits, the same desires, the same passions. Some of us are going to get really excited when we talk about the latest and greatest technology. And others are just going to look at you and be like, okay, let's talk about hunting videos now. But when we can surrender ourselves to God, in everything that we are, all of our desires, all of our wants, all of our appreciations, and we can submit it all to God and allow Him to lay it out for us and allow Him to talk to us, to speak to us, to lead us. And when we hear His voice and follow after the voice of the shepherd, I want my appetite to be on heavenly things. Remember the test, if it's eternal or temporal, is the eye test. We can become consumed with the things that we see. But if you can see it, it's not eternal. It's going to die. It's going to pass away. It's not going to last. But the things that we can't see are the things that are so much more important. Those things that have eternal impacts, lasting, truly lasting and kingdom impacts. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand tonight? Lord, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your leading. I'm thankful for your voice in this hour, Jesus. Let us hear your voice. Let us quiet ourselves, God. Let us submit ourselves, quiet every voice in our lives so that we can hear you, that we can follow after you, Jesus. God, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to show up one day in heaven and say, what about the things that you did through me, God? I want you to know me, Jesus. I want to know you. I want there to be relationship, God. In the name of Jesus, let me not be a worker of iniquity. Let me not be a worker of my will, Jesus, a worker of my desires and my pleasures. But God, let me put first the kingdom. Let me put first the kingdom, Jesus. Lead me, I pray. Guide us by your power, Jesus. Hiatayando shikalabasai. Hinayato shikalabasai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust your word, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Greet somebody before.